Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. If you're here with us for the first time in a while, we've been walking through Galatians. We're getting close to the end here. We'll be here for a couple more Sundays. If you haven't been with us before, welcome. We're glad you're here. You can pick up right where we are and just dive into the Word with us this morning. Question to kind of get us thinking this morning is this. Have you ever been given an idea or maybe a piece of wisdom that sounds wonderful, like, yes, I know that's true, just like it sounds really good, but then you take it and you go to put it in your life and you're not sure how to walk that truth out, how to walk that piece of wisdom out. Sometimes in God's Word, I feel like that, like, man, that is such a rich piece of truth, piece of wisdom from God's Word, but what in the world does it look like in my life? Every day, with my family, with my church family, with the people I run into in the stores, what does it look like? And if we aren't careful as we walk through books of the Bible, we can do that. We can grab hold of pieces of truth and pieces of wisdom that are golden from God's Word. But if we never take them and make them land into our life, then they're just head knowledge. And what we see in God's Word in books like Galatians is Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he gives us these huge pieces of truth. Like, when you place faith in Jesus, you are adopted as a son of God. You are now a co-heir with Christ, waiting a glorious inheritance that is eternity with Jesus and with your Heavenly Father. He gives us these huge pieces of truth. Like last week, we looked at chapter 5 as a whole, that we are called to freedom. And in fact, Jesus, through his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, set us free for something. He set us free so that we could be free. And then he gives us this clear picture of what it looks like to walk in freedom. In the fruit of the Spirit, in chapter 5, he says, the fruit of the Spirit, in verses 22 and 23, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we have this idea of what walking in freedom looks like. Walking in freedom from the flesh, walking in freedom from slavery to religion, to walking in freedom following the Spirit. With gentleness and kindness and love and joy and patience and peace. And then in chapter 6, what Paul does, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is he takes that big idea of freedom and following the Holy Spirit in that freedom, and he makes it hit the ground. He says, this is what it looks like in our lives every day. This is what it should look like. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first 5 verses of chapter 6, where he begins to give this idea of walking in freedom, following the Holy Spirit as Christians, and he gives it feet. He makes it hit the ground and tells us what that means for us practically, which I'm excited about, and I hope you are too. I know many of us didn't come in this morning after 2 hours of preparing ourselves to get ready. I didn't. We come in the busyness of our lives. And so this morning, before we get in the Word, I just want to invite you to pray with me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you thankful that we can gather together to worship you through song, thankful that we can gather together to worship you through giving and through prayer and through getting under the authority of your Word. God, I know many of us have burdens sitting on our shoulders, burdens of our own, burdens of others that we're caring for. And so, Lord, we just give those to you now. We ask that you'd just give us the ability to focus on your word for the next few minutes, to hear your word, and then to follow that up by doing your word. God, we lift those up that are listening this morning, that can't be with us physically, Lord. We just ask that you be with them in a special way, that you minister to them with your spirit, that you'd lift up their heads, you'd encourage their hearts, and use this season of sickness and suffering in their lives to draw their hearts to you. God, we thank you most of all for Jesus, for his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. And we pray that your spirit would lead us this morning. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Before we read this morning, I want to ask you a couple of questions. I asked you this last week. Statements and then questions. Christians believe in the life, the perfect life of Jesus. His death on the cross that was died there in the place of sinners. He didn't deserve it because he was perfect. He died there on the cross for us in our place. Christians also believe that 3 days later, after his death, he walked out of the grave. So my first question for you this morning is, do you believe that? My second question is this. Christians have surrendered their life to Jesus. That's what we mean when we say we trust him. We place faith in him. We call him Lord because we surrender our life to him as our Lord, as our master. So, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Christians have believed in his life, death, and resurrection, and they have surrendered. They have placed faith in him as their Lord, as their Savior. Have you done that? If you have, and your answer to both of those questions this morning is yes, praise God. I want to tell you something. These verses are a call to you to obedience, a call to me to obedience, to walk and keep in step with the Spirit. The answer for you to either one of those questions is no, then the call to you is to listen and to know that the freedom we're talking about, the love we're talking about this morning, is available to you, but only in Christ. Only in Christ. And how sweet it is. So the call to you is a call to faith, belief, trust. Surrender your life to Jesus. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You ready? Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. This morning we're going to pull two pieces of truth straight out of these five verses here. And the first piece of truth is this. Back up with me to chapter 5. We see in these last two verses of chapter 5, Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And he's telling us here how to keep in step with the Spirit. And we see the first command here is that kind of the overarching command for these first three verses is in verse 2. He says, bear one another's burdens. So our first truth piece is this. When we walk in step with the Spirit, we are called to bear one another's burdens. When we walk in step with the Spirit, when Christians follow the Lord, follow the Spirit, walk in step with Him, keep in step with Him, Christians are called to bear one another's burdens. So we see this in verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The idea of bearing one another's burdens is pretty easy. He just gives us a picture here, an image, an illustration right here in the text. Bearing up, carrying something with someone that is loaded down. Even in some cases, picking it up for them, toting it, bearing up the weight that they cannot or are struggling to carry on their own. The idea here is these words, and let me just say, words are extremely important in Scripture, even individual ones. We have two different ones that, if we're not careful, we may think they communicate the same idea. The first one I want you to circle is in verse 2. Circle, if you're a note taker in your Bible, circle the word burdens. That word there is significantly different than the word load in verse 5. You can circle that word too. We'll get to it in a few minutes. That word burden there communicates a specific idea of a heavy load. A load that is too heavy for an individual. The idea of specifically of an experience of something that's too traumatic, too life-altering, too heavy, too hard for an individual to walk through on their own. And Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, Christians, brothers and sisters, look at your brothers and sisters and do not let them carry the things that are too heavy for them to carry on their own. Bear it up with them. Carry it for them in some cases. The other day, have you guys seen the new playground over behind our education wing? It's pretty, isn't it? I'm excited for our children. I know our children are excited. But one of the things that was delivered and was just delivered, one pallet of it was delivered this week, was rubber mulch. And for whatever reason, they have these skinny little pallets and they put a ton of rubber mulch on one pallet. Truck driver pulls up the other day and he says, I can't get this out on my own. And he was like, so if you got somebody here that can help me, that'd be great. I was like, well, here we go. We get Mr. Bob and me and him go to work with the truck driver and we get the rubber mulch off. But that is an example of a physical burden. The truck driver himself, even with the lift that he had, could not move those pallets on his own. One of us had to get on one side and push it. One of us had to get on the other side and pull it. The other one had to keep it balanced, make sure it wasn't going to tip over. We helped him carry, bear the weight of that pallet. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, look, your brothers and sisters and you yourself are going to walk through seasons in your life where you're going to experience things that are too weighty for you on your own. And in those cases, come alongside your brothers or your sister and bear that burden with them. You want to walk with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, live out what it means, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. This is one of those things. Bear one another's burdens. Visiting in times of sickness and loss. Helping with decision making in times of sickness and loss and grief. Providing the essentials of life, food, sometimes shelter, sometimes transportation in times of sickness and loss and grief. Prayer in times of sickness and loss and grief. Romans 12, in the same area in Romans where Paul begins to give what he's teaching feet, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So we provide to bear the burden, but we also just sit down with the people who are walking through suffering and sickness and death and loss and grief, and we weep with them. Part of their burden is an emotional burden, and we carry that with them too. Sounds a lot like family, doesn't it? It's no coincidence. I mean, that's not a coincidence. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is painting a picture, a very clear picture, of how a family unit functions. He's already said as much. We are adopted into the same family, co-heirs with Christ. We are now brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are supposed to function as such, not allowing one another to bear their burden, a weight that is too heavy for them on their own, by themselves. That's why in verse 1, he addresses this passage, brothers. So, what does this look like practically? Paul actually gives us an example in verse 1 of what this looks like practically, and it's not necessarily one that we would automatically think of, because many times when we think of burdens, we think of loss and death and grief and suffering. But that's not the only burden that we might bear. Verse 1, look at it. He says, this is like an example of bearing one another's burdens. He says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The idea of caught in sin, trapped like an animal. He says, you who are spiritual. So you who are walking and keeping in step with the Spirit, you are to go to the brother who or sister who is caught up in sin. And he's not just saying like you are the sin police. He's saying somebody that is caught up in sin. They have gone a pretty far ways down the road of sin. And they need, and James calls it, we looked at this on Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, James called it wandering. They have wandered from the truth. They have wandered from their Lord. They have wandered from their church family. They've been caught in the trap of temptation and sin. And Paul says, that is a burden that they can't bear alone. In fact, if they're left to their own devices, they're just going to go further down that road. And we're called to bear one another's burden. And an example of that is restoring them in a spirit of gentleness. That word restore there in the English doesn't communicate everything it does in the Greek. It's actually the same word that they would have used then to communicate the idea of setting a broken bone back in place or setting a joint that has been dislocated back into place. Those of you that have been a part of that or have had that done to you know that's not a pleasant experience, is it? It's not. And it takes some force, right, nurses? I know we got several. It takes some force to do that, but you still have to do it with a certain amount of gentleness. That's the very idea that Paul is communicating here. Go to your brothers and sisters who are wandering. Restore them with a spirit of gentleness. Will it cause pain? Yes, it will. They will have to deal with the consequences of going down the road they went down. And you can walk with that with them through that as well. Spirit of gentleness. Truth with love. I want y'all to think about something. I want you to think about carrying this out today in our lives. This idea of burden bearing sounds good, but when we really play it out in our culture today, it's actually an offense to our culture. Our culture is wrapped up in individualism. It's wrapped up in not judging one another. And this command to bear one another's burden actually calls us to get up in each other's business. It calls us to be accountable to one another. So if I'm going down a road that I don't need to go down spiritually, if I'm obedient to this passage, I expect one of you to come get me. And vice versa. But today, we live in a culture that is self-sufficient, right? Every man for himself. We take pride in picking up ourselves by our own bootstraps. We don't need anybody else but ourselves. And we learn to live that way. And what we find is that is antithetical to the way that the gospel calls us to live, bearing one another's burdens. The idea that I do right by me, you do right by you. You keep your nose in your business, I'll keep my nose in my business. I won't judge you, and don't you dare judge me, right? And we quote, when we go down that road, we quote Jesus and we quote Matthew 7:1 where he says, judge not that you won't be judged. But then Jesus goes on to in verse 5 of chapter 7 in Matthew, he says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So he's not saying don't judge. He's saying check yourself before you go get the wanderer. Make sure that you're not wandering when you try to bring the wanderer back and restore him. Make sure your joints are not dislocated when you try to set somebody else's joints back. You with me? Do you see how it clashes with today's culture? Even today's church culture, we want to come in as individuals. We want to worship as individuals. We want to go to Sunday school as individuals. We want to learn the same things and do the same things at the same time as other people, but when it comes to getting involved in each other's lives, and more so people getting involved in my life, we want to keep everybody at an arm's length. And that's antithetical to the way the gospel calls us to live, bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. Look at the end of verse 1. He says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. It's a warning that we should not take lightly there. If we are in a position where we feel like the Lord's leading us to restore someone who is caught up in sin, we need to keep watch on ourselves that we don't too fall into temptation. As we go retrieve them, we may encounter the same temptations that they have fallen into. But we also will encounter the temptation of pride. Look at me. I'm going to get the lost sinner. I'm going to get the wanderer. I'm going to retrieve him or her. And there's a temptation. That's why Paul says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too get caught up in the sin. Lest you too fall into the trap. So, brothers, sisters, Eastside, we are called to bear one another's burdens. When we live this out practically, what it means is, what I said a moment ago, I have an expectation that when I walk through something that's too heavy for me to carry on my own, that you, as my church family, will come along beside me. I have an expectation that if I get caught up into sin, one or some of you will come and restore me, no matter how painful that might be. But I also have an expectation that if you go down a road or if you go through an experience that's too heavy for you to carry on your own, I have an expectation that I will be there with you too. And you will be with one another. You've heard me say several things, especially if you've been with us on Wednesday night, a lot about Sunday school lately. That is one of the most important roles of Sunday school. We call it Sunday school, but it's so much more than coming together and learning. It is becoming each other's family. So that you have a group of people that you know you are accountable to, and they are accountable to you. And you know that when you get up under something that's too heavy for you, they will come along beside you, and vice versa. Sunday school is huge. It's huge. At least it should be huge for us. When we walk in step with the Spirit, we are called to bear one another's burdens. And at times that means restoring a brother or sister who is caught in sin. At times that means coming along beside somebody in their day of loss or suffering. It's good news, isn't it? To know that. Some of you have received that. Some of you have been on the giving end of that. Some of you have been on both ends of that. And that is church. That is church. Truth piece two. When we walk in step with the Spirit, we are called to carry our own load. This may seem like it's the opposite, like Paul is talking out of two sides of his mouth. Carry each other's burdens, but carry your own load. And that's where these words, the difference in these words, become very important. Burden is something too heavy for us to carry. A load in the Greek is something that is light, that you fit in a knapsack, throw over your shoulder. And me, I'm responsible for my own load. You, as a believer, are responsible for your own load. I can't expect you to come get me up early enough in the morning that I'll get into the Word on my own. I can't expect you to come over to my house and make sure my alarm clock went off to make sure that I get to work on time. You see, I have my own load. You have your own load. And Paul is saying, bear one another's burdens, the weights that are too heavy to carry, but carry your own load. Carry your own load. And he tells us why. Why do we carry our own load? He says in verse 4, But let each one test his own work. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone. For each will have to bear his own load. So he says, will have to bear his own load. The same idea of carrying there. The idea of a future day. One day we know our Lord will return, right? Jesus, as we said earlier, is not dead. He is alive. We believe he's coming back. That's what he said he was going to do, so we believe it. And when he comes back, we'll stand before him with our own load. Did you seek me? Did you grow in your faith? Did you love one another? Did you bear others' burdens when they needed you? Did you keep in step with my spirit? And that's what Paul is speaking of here. Bearing our own load, carrying our own load. We'll give account to Jesus when he returns as to whether we have or not. And this doesn't contradict our burden-bearing call to one another. So, let me give you an example of this. He says, verse 4, test your own work. And we don't test it against our neighbor. We test it against, we take our own heart and we compare it to the Lord. And if we do that, what we find is we're completely humbled because we become completely aware of our own sin and aware of his righteousness, right? But at the same time, in the truth that we are his, that we know the Lord and he's adopted us as his children, we are also encouraged as we are humbled because Jesus has given us his perfection, his righteousness. So we test our own hearts. We test our own work to see if we're keeping in step with the Spirit he's called us to. So a way that we can do that is we can ask some questions. As a Christian, we can ask this: have I matured in my faith since the day I became a Christian? So there was a time in your life where you surrendered your life to Christ, where you believed in his life, death, and resurrection. Have you matured in your faith since that time? Has your faith matured in the last 5 years, in the last year, in the last 6 months, in the last month, the last week? Are you carrying your own load? Are you seeking the Lord and growing in him? It's a question worth asking, and it's a question that's worth taking the time to answer. Are you growing in your faith today? These two pieces of truth work in tandem. We carry our own load, and as we encounter things that are too carry for us to handle, our church family comes beside us and helps us bear those burdens, and us with them. It's a beautiful picture. Of family, right? Of family. And as we walk in keeping in step with the Spirit, what we find is we begin to function as a family. So a couple of questions as we close today. Believer, are you carrying your own load? Has it been a while since you've really grown in your faith? Are you just going through the motions? Are you seeking the Lord? Taking the time to seek him? Perhaps today would be a day of repentance for not seeking him. A day of renewal where you begin to seek him again and begin to mature in your faith again. His grace is sufficient. He loves you more than you can imagine. Believer, maybe today you are walking through a time under the weight of something that you don't need to carry on your own, a burden. And you're carrying it on your own because nobody knows. And you think you have to. Hear God's word this morning. You don't have to, nor are you supposed to. That's good news. Perhaps today, in obedience to the Lord, you need to share what you're walking through with a brother or sister. Maybe today you're here as a believer and you're in a sweet season. You're in a time where the Lord is growing you. You're in a time where you all you have to carry is your own load. You don't have any extra burdens sitting on you. Maybe today is a call to you to just look around and say, is there somebody in my life that is trying to tote it on their own more than they need to? That I need to bear up whatever they're trying to carry, whether it's the loss of a loved one, maybe it's sin in their life. Who knows what it is, the loss of a job, and you need to come along beside them and get up under that burden with them and walk with them. Maybe that's where you are today, believer. In whatever case, it's a reason to praise and thank the Lord and obey him in the command to bear up one another's burdens. Perhaps you're here today and you haven't placed faith in Jesus. You haven't believed in this life, death, and resurrection. Again, I say to you again, today is a call to faith to you. The blessings of following Jesus are more than you can imagine. And what we've talked about today is just a taste of them. So it's a call to faith. You can place faith in the Lord Jesus today. Let's pray, and we're going to sing and praise him, and you can respond however the Spirit's leading you to respond. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you that, Lord, you call us to cast our cares upon you. You tell us that your yoke is light. And Lord, when we encounter times of weight that is too heavy, too burdensome for us to carry on our own, you not only come beside us with your Spirit, but you give us one another. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would make that a reality among our church. I pray that where it is already a reality, that you would encourage those believers in their obedience to you. Lord, I pray your Spirit would move this morning where this needs to become a reality in our church family. God, I pray for those who are within earshot or those that we know don't know you. God, we pray for new life. We pray that your Spirit would do a work on their heart. They would come under the conviction of their sin and your righteousness, and they would believe in your life, death, and resurrection, and they would surrender their life to you. God, we love you, and we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I have peace to follow.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Sing it with